This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number is 877-217-5757. Send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And a special treat to start our week, the Soul Queen of New Orleans, the great Irma Thomas, is with us, and she'll be heading to Baton Rouge in short order next month. On December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, 7:30 p.m., she'll be performing at the Baton Rouge High School Auditorium. And she, of course, is a Louisiana treasure, considered by many to be equal in talent to people like Etta James and Aretha Franklin. And she has been doing her thing since the year of 1959 when she was still a teenager. It all started for you very young, as a young woman from Ponchatoula, did it not, Irma Thomas?
Yes, it did.
Well, you began singing when you were in a Baptist choir, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How did that happen?
Well, when you're growing up in Louisiana, in the southern part of Louisiana, well, in the South in general, that was part of your lifestyle. You went to church, and if you had any kind of talent, whether it was good or bad, you sung in the choir, you participated in church, you participated in school. That was a given. You didn't even think about it. You just did it.
What caused the migration to New Orleans? That happened.
Well, my parents moved to New Orleans when I was still an infant. I was just, as I tell people all the time, and they laugh, I was hatched in Ponchatoula. But I grew up in early stages of my life. I grew up in New Orleans, and then at a young age, after I guess I must have been about 5, going on 6. My parents both were working, and they couldn't find a babysitter that they felt comfortable with, so my dad took me to Greensburg, Louisiana, and I lived out there for about 4 years. I came back to New Orleans when I was 9 years old and been back ever since until I moved away as an adult. But when you grow up in those environments, that's just the way it is. I mean, in the country, we sung to keep ourselves comfortable, entertain ourselves when we weren't working in the fields. And in New Orleans, it was, you're surrounded by entertainment. I mean, on a daily basis, someone is being buried, or there's a second line celebrating some organization's anniversary. So I grew up listening to music all my life. And where my parents lived at the early stages of my life, they lived in a hotel that also had a lounge that had entertainment in it. So, I mean, I've been hearing entertainment all my life. So I guess it was just natural for me to gyrate toward, you know, being a part of it, but I just enjoyed singing to the point that I didn't know you could actually make a living doing it.
We're hearing the voice and the laugh of Irma Thomas, a Louisiana legend, and if you'd like to talk with this amazing performer who's still going, 877-217-5757. I mentioned that you started young, and the first hit was in 1959. You had been working as a waitress prior to the song that I think was banned by the Catholic Church, "Don't Mess With My Man." What happened?
Well, it seems kind of strange that it was banned by the Catholic Church, because a lot of the shows that I played in the early stages of my career were at Catholic high schools.
I think Catholics can be guilty, speaking as one, of hypocrisy every now and then.
But I found that rather strange.
But if ever there was a hook, a song that starts, "You can have my husband, but don't mess with my man," that's a hook.
Yes, it is. I didn't write it. It was given to me.
Well, you did it with great enthusiasm, and Matt Doyle, our producer, says we'll hear a bit of it in just a bit. But but Irma Thomas, you've been going a long time, and you're known in Louisiana as one of the greats, and rightfully so. But it took until 2007 to win a Grammy. Was that a bittersweet moment after all those years of toiling in the fields?
Yeah, well, you could say that, because that's, as an entertainer who's in this business, that's what they call the brass ring. Everybody looks forward to having that moment. It wasn't until later years that I discovered that I always thought people had the general public had a lot to do with it, but you live and you learn. It has nothing to do with the general public. It's your peers who vote for you to have the Grammy. And that was the year that I guess my peers decided that I deserved to have one. I had been nominated up until that point. I had been nominated three times. And then I got a nomination once after I won the Grammy. So, you know, you're nominated by your peers, and if they nominate you and vote for you, that's how you get the Grammy. So, yes, it was a bittersweet situation. I'm happy that I finally got one.
Well, when you moved to New Orleans as a young girl, do you remember where you lived?
Yeah, I lived at 1718 Felicity Street, which is now an apartment complex of some kind. It was an apartment complex then, but they've torn down the apartments where I lived, and now it's looked like condos or what have you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember where I lived.
And you've been there ever since. Not at Felicity Street, but...
No, but I've been in New Orleans up until I moved away in January of 1970. I moved to California for a few years, and then I moved back to New Orleans, so... New Orleans was in my blood, so
yeah,
here I am.
and it is a city that grabs you, and it grabbed Irma Thomas, and we're glad she stayed. 877-217-5757, Chuck in Scott. Good morning, Chuck. You're on Talk Louisiana with the incomparable Irma Thomas.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you, Jim, for the wide variety of guests you have on there, and I just want to say you have on a Louisiana treasure this morning. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Chuck. And do you ever get tired of hearing that, Irma?
No. No, I don't. I think, I feel very blessed that people appreciate my talent. And, you know, I haven't heard any negativity from anyone. And if it is, I haven't heard it. I'm sure, you know, I don't assume everybody likes me. But, you know, that's life. But I have been blessed to have had people who shared their feelings with me, and it's all been good.
877-217-5757. There's still time to get in with Irma Thomas, Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Morning. Ms. Thomas, I have a photo of you from February of 1965 on the stage of the Coca Room of the old Municipal Auditorium.
Wow.
The thing that I done got over with Deacon John, it was the Jesuit High Mardi Gras Dance.
Wow. That's got to be an interesting photo.
I'm
you
sure,
were great.
I'm sure Irma was. And you've played all over the world, but what are some of the most special venues for you?
Well, be honest with you, I don't really look at the venues where I perform as anything particularly special because I enjoy my work. And wherever people have paid the price of a ticket to come and see my show, I take that as special. I mean, I played outdoors where I ate more bugs than I could sing. I had dinner bugs for dinner, and I had fun in spite of it. And I've played, like I'm going to be playing the high school auditorium come up next month. I mean, all of the venues where people have paid to come to see Irma Thomas, I enjoy. I find them, you know, a pleasure and an honor to perform.
Carl in New Roads. Carl, good morning. You're on the air with Irma Thomas.
Yes. It's such a pleasure to listen to the lady. I tell you what, talking about venues, we used to listen to her back in the 60s, and I hate for both of us to go back that far, but...
Why not?
We're in the north end of Baton Rouge, and I tell you what, it was just lovely every time that she would come up that way. It was just delightful. Enjoying it since then and enjoying it now when I listen to her records. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Love to have you there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl in New Roads. And Irma, I suspect there are people who've watched you for maybe a half century who've never had a chance to talk with you, and they get a kick out of being able to engage with you here. And if anyone's out there who... would like to talk with one of the Louisiana treasurers, Irma Thomas, 877-217-5757. Trish in Lafayette. Trish, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi. In 1998, I read a review in People magazine about a new CD that was out by three singers from Louisiana called Sing It. And
oh, yeah.
We with Marsha Ball and Tracy Nelson.
That was fun.
I could tell from listening to it. So I send off and I get the CD. Well, long story short, I end up moving to Louisiana, and I've been here for 20 years. And I take my art to some festival, and I hear Marsha Ball sing it, in person. Uh-huh. And then somewhere I heard you sing it in person. And this, I mean, this song is just threading through my life. And then I go to this festival in Shreveport, and I hear this band called Trout Fishing in America sing it. And
that's where we got it from.
Well, I didn't know that. I thought they stole it from y'all.
No. No.
Well, as we go to the break, let's hear one of Irma's great ones. This one goes back about six decades, and we'll return with Irma Thomas in short order on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. We're spending some more time with the incomparable Irma Thomas, coming this way December 7th, just over a month. Johnny Palazzotto is the one who's made this happen, the great promoter who still lives in Baton Rouge. And you can find out about tickets by going to BONTEMPSTIX, BONTEMPSTIX.com. And Irma Thomas will be performing 7:30 p.m. Baton Rouge High School Auditorium on December 7th. Your number to get in under the wire with Irma for Talk Louisiana is 877-217-5757. Kathy in Prairieville, you're on the air with Irma Thomas. Good morning, Kathy.
Well, good morning. I just want to tell Miss Irma, Grammy or no Grammy, you've been bringing joy to my life and my daughter's life now since I was young, and I just want to thank you, and I thank God there's beautiful people like you on earth to bring such, I don't know, such soul to the world. I just want to tell you thank you for everything you've done.
It has been my pleasure.
Thank you, Kathy. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. David in Atlanta by way of New Orleans. Good morning to you.
Ms. Thomas, you were part of the greatest musical era, and a big part of the greatest musical era of all time, the New Orleans R&B sound from the 50s and 60s with Danny White and Fats Domino and Tommy Ridgely and Benny Spellman, Ernie Cato, Eddie Bo, so many others. Thank you for the music. And I have a question for you. There's a CD from the Treem HBO series, and your best CD I have that I love so much is the song that was recorded by the Rolling Stones, although you recorded it originally, Time Is On My Side. You did a performance on that Treme episode, Time Is On My Side. It was a live performance. You hit it out of the ballpark, and you broke the bat and knocked the cover off the ball. Can you tell us anything about that performance? It was magnificent.
Well, Treme wanted to have some local musicians in a part of one of their series, and, of course, if you remember, Dave Bartholomew played trumpet on that particular set, and I think Alan Toussaint was a part of it. So they gathered up some local musicians, and that was the song they chose that they wanted to be done, and we just did it.
That song is one that most people have heard your version and the Rolling Stones version, which was pretty good. They would prefer your version. Is it somewhat of a bit of a sticking point that theirs was the one that was the big hit?
Well, they say you live and learn, and hindsight is 20/20. At the time, I was a little bit miffed because it happened at the early stages when my career was just beginning to on its upcline. And, of course, it happened during the time what they called the British invasion. So during those years, if you were British, whatever you sung, they loved you, whether you could sing or not. And so when the Rolling Stones covered it, I mean, they saw me in England. And they told me that they were going to cover it. And it was released a few weeks after they had seen me in England. And when it came out, everybody was saying that I was singing the Rolling Stones song. Well, I really wasn't. And I got tired of having to explain that. So for years, I didn't do it. But, you know, that was the greatest form of flattery when someone covered one of your songs. Mm-hmm. But the way it was covered in my instance, they thought I was doing the Rolling Stones when, in turn, the Rolling Stones was doing Irma.
877-217-5757, Ray in Prairieville. Ray, you're on the air with Irma Thomas. Good morning to you.
Thank Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking the call. And I especially appreciated Mrs. Thomas's comment about the not the venue but the people there. One of my favorite memories of personal attendance at shows was Sammy Davis Jr. did the same thing. When he got up on the stage, he didn't say anything about himself. He just thanked the people who came to hear him sing. And I always remember that, and I appreciate Mr. Thomas's comment the same way.
Thank you, Ray. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Sarah in Mid-City asks if you have a favorite recording.
I would have to kind of be favored towards my first major hit, which I incidentally wrote, called I Wish Someone Would Care. And I leaned toward that one because at the time it was a great song that I wrote about a time in my life when I was going through some personal issues, and it kind of fit in with what was going on. And then in later years, I found out that a lot of the Vietnam vets who had heard it said that that song got them through some really rough times. And so I feel, to me, I picked that one as one of my favorite songs.
That's an interesting choice. And you've done so many great songs, and many of them would be signature songs for any artist who recorded them as adeptly and adroitly as you did. We're listed by New York Times Magazine as one of the artists whose material was destroyed in the 2008 Universal Fire. That's a tragedy.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll recover some of it. I mean, a lot of it did get destroyed, but there are other areas where they are trying to recoup to some extent. And, I don't know how they're managing to do that, but a lot of that earlier stuff did. But somewhere down the line, someone found a lot of the stuff that Alan had done somewhere. I don't know where they found it at. They said they found it at a flea market. We're still not sure where it came from, but that's some of the earlier things. And I think most of the stuff that got destroyed with that fire was the stuff that I had done on Imperial, which would be Time Is On My Side and Wish Someone Would Care, those songs.
You mentioned Alan. That's Alan Toussaint. He was a big part of your life and career, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He wrote a lot of the earlier hits, the local hits. People were surprised how many of those songs never made it nationally. It's Raining never made it nationally until some years later when they used it in a movie. Rule of My Heart was covered by Otis Redding in the early stages of my career. There was another one of those songs I had to explain, but I stopped explaining it because a lot of folks realize that Otis Redding covered Rule of My Heart and made it Pain in My Heart, and he had to wind up paying Mr. Toussaint royalties because he didn't write it. He just changed the words. But, that he played a large part in that. He wrote and produced a lot of the earlier songs that I recorded, like It's Raining, Rule of My Heart, I Done Got Over, Two Winters Long, Cry On. I Done Got Over was written by Ernie Cato, but Alan Toussaint did the arranging and the production of it. So a lot of those songs were never national hits, but they were local hits, and some of them have been used in movies in recent years.
Who were some of the major influences on your career?
Dinah Washington, Ruth Brown, of course, Etta James, because Etta James been recording. She had been recording since she was 14. I didn't start quite that young. But these were people that were around and was doing well during my early stages of my life. My daddy used to play a lot of John Lee Hooker, Lightnin' Hopkins, Percy Mayfield, early B.B. King, early Bobby Blue Bland. So, I got a chance to hear a lot of that on a daily basis from my dad playing the records in the house.
Well, once again, it's December 7th, 7:30 p.m., Baton Rouge High School Auditorium, Irma Thomas, and you can go to BONTEMPSTIX.com for tickets. And Irma, it has been an honor and a pleasure to talk with you. Congratulations.
Thank you. You started
in 1959, so next year it'll be parts of eight decades. You're not quite 80 years old, but you will have performed.
In a couple of years.
You will have performed in eight decades when next year comes. And at the end of this year, you can see Irma at Baton Rouge High. And as we go to the break, let's hear, I guess this might be the signature song for the great Irma Thomas.
It's raining so hard. Look like it's gonna rain all night. And this is the time I'd love to be holding you tight. But I guess I'll have to accept the fact that you're not here. I wish the night would hurry up.